Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Journey to Success Radio Network. Our purpose on Journey to Success Radio is to interview people who are making a positive difference in the world. We explore important aspects and areas of life, including business, sales, spiritual, physical, mental, relationships, disabilities, and many more interesting topics. So far, our broadcast team consists of outstanding people from both Canada and the U.S., including several Napoleon Hill certified instructors, as well as several authors. My name is Tom Tuttle Cunningham, and I'm a Napoleon Hill Foundation certified instructor. I'm also a regular contributor to their weekly newsletter. And in March of 2012, I spoke at the Napoleon Hill International Convention in Malaysia, where I shared the stage with Deepak Chopra, who was the keynote speaker for that event. I've had rheumatoid arthritis from my jaw to my toes since the age of 5. That's 44 years now, and in that time I've had 4 hips replaced, 4 knees, and 2 shoulders, and been hospitalized about 40 times. I also stand about 5'1". That's due to the heavy daily doses of the oral steroid prednisone that I had to take to fight my arthritis. Despite those physical challenges, everyone who knows me knows I'm very well known for always answering amazing when asked how I'm doing. I'm also a senior research director at the Canadian Business Journal, which is a digital-only publication, and we are the official and only media partner of the Canadian Chamber of Commerce. Find out more about me at my website. It's tom2andtall, T-A-L-L.com. And I'm excited today to have as my guest, all the way from Amsterdam, Ruth Neslow, who I met in Ireland as part of the Napoleon Hill certified instructor trip. There are some people that go on these trips that impact everybody, and Ruth was one of those people. She is a very passionate, caring, understanding, wise person, and boy, she had an impact on everyone she met. Ruth is an energetic achiever and has also invested a lot in personal effectiveness and communication. This has helped her to develop her leadership even further, and she adds great value for companies and departments, especially for those in some sort of crisis. She creates stability, overview, and works for a solution and goal, and works on solution and goal-oriented solutions. She has taken numerous training courses and seminars and read a variety of literature on business economics, personal and organizational development. She combines motherhood, partnerhood, studying, personal development, finance, entrepreneurship, doing some real estate, and taking care of herself with almost 30 years of experience. And of course, along the way, she's also experienced some adversity and defeat and has overcome many setbacks and challenges, including a very poor childhood. Welcome to the show today, Ruth, from the other side of the world.
Hello, Tom. How are you? Welcome you also. And here from Amsterdam. And first of all, I want to give you a happy Thanksgiving today for you and the whole America and everybody
in the
world.
Thank you so much.
Yes, because I know this is a really special day for especially people in the States and Canada.
Yes.
Here in Amsterdam, it's not living in that space, but I'm always every day doing Thanksgiving. So for me, it's always a special day.
And we had a lot of fun in Ireland, didn't we?
Yes, we did. Yes,
wow.
We did. Yes, we did. It was really amazing, and it was really amazing to meet you and all the other people. And it was like, you know, a really energetic group, and we had, you know, a lot of experience together, and we got very bonded together. So it was a really great experience to be there.
I really enjoyed it. And sometimes maybe people think when they go on this Napoleon Hill certified training trip that it's a lot of classroom time. There is classroom time, but the main benefit I get is out of the people, because they all have their own purpose, they all have their own goals, they all have their own skills and talents. Plus, they come from all different countries. We had Argentina, Netherlands, Amsterdam.
Yep.
What other countries did we have on there? Canada and the U.S., of course. But
is that
people
Mexican
from
people? Is that some from Italy? Yeah.
Yes, someone from Romania.
Yeah.
All over the place. And so when you meet that many variety of people, all like-minded people, boy, you learn more from them than the classroom, don't you?
Yes, for me it was a small holiday, so I enjoyed it a lot. And, you know, even for me, coming from originally from Suriname, and everybody was asking, you know, where is Suriname? And I was like, you know, yes, that is a former colony of the Dutch, but, you know, it's in top of Brazil. And when you say Brazil, it's like, ah, Brazil, you know, but people don't know Suriname. So it was for me, okay, I'm coming from Amsterdam.
Exactly, and I didn't know where it was either. I'm not very good on geography, so all I knew, Amsterdam. Oh, yeah, okay, everybody knows Amsterdam. And so I always start my show, Ruth, by asking, at what age were you when you first read Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, and was there someone special in your life that suggested you read that book?
Do you really want to know my age or how many years back I've read it?
Yeah, how old were you when you read it?
Ooh, how old was I? Let's say it was 4 years ago.
Okay, 4 years ago, so recently.
Yes, I read the book. I already heard of the book because I did a lot of trainings in self-development, and every time they referred, you know, like Napoleon Hill, Think and Grow Rich, Napoleon Hill, Think and Grow Rich, even Anthony Robbins, you know, is praising the man, and I was like, you know, I want to read that book. So I read that book 4 years ago on a holiday in Spain, and I read through the book within one day. But it was like, you know, you read the book, but it's like, yeah, it didn't, you know, get you really impacted, because when you're, first of all, reading it for the first time, you know, you have to think about it. So I was like, you know, because English is not my native language, I said, you know, I want to read the book again, but I want to read it in Dutch. So I did. But then I got that, you know, but in English, it got more impact on me. So I read it again in English.
Whoa.
So, and, you know, the third time that I read the book, it was really like, okay, I got it now. And, you know, and also what I've learned all through the years, it was like a lot of confirmation, but also, you know, also the things which I lacked, you know, it was really pointed out what I had to do. So one of the things was really for me clear that, you know, that your major definite purpose is really the start, beginning of everything. So I have done all those, you know, training, seminars and everything. But then I got last year, like, you know, I want to go to the source. I really want to go to the source. So I was Googling and I saw there was even a foundation which give you courses about the principles of Napoleon Hill. So I was like, you know, asking a friend of mine, you know, should we do it together? And she was even there on the tour, you know, Anna, yeah?
Yes.
She was really with us, also with the course and the leadership. So, yes, so I did the, I'm busy still with the course finishing off, have to do a bit of it. And but the experience which you had with all the people of all over the world coming together and having the same mindset, that's really amazing. It's an experience you never can have that. So I'm so also grateful for the foundation to make it possible to be amongst those people.
It was sure a lot of fun. And yet this is only part of your journey. I learned and heard a great story from you in Ireland about, and you did something I've wanted to or thought of doing. You took the Tony Robbins Unleash the Power Within weekend, wasn't it, with your mother?
Yes, I've went to Anthony Robbins, the UPW, three times. And one of the second one, I went with my mom. And, you know, my mom, she was 65 then at that age. Yes, 65. And my mom is really someone, you know, she didn't get a lot of education, everything, but she is very developed, you know. And, you know, while I was busy with all those self-development, she was always, you know, asking me and curious about what I'm doing, because she saw the change in my life. And every time that I went, she was like, you know, who is that guy, Tony Robbins? So at the birthday, I gave her a present and I gave her, you know, the tour going to the seminar of Anthony Robbins. And, you know, my mom, she is really like, I like it, but, you know, getting all those arguments, you know, why she cannot do it. So in the morning, you know, Tony was already saying, you know, you guys, you don't know, but in the evening you will have the firewalk. So my mom was like, what is he saying? I don't understand English. and I was translating. I was like, well, tonight, my dear, you're going to walk the firewalk. And she was like, no, I'm not. I said, you better prepare because you're going to do it. And she was like, no, because I'm diabetic. You know, I got my pants on. I got my, you know, every kind of excuse. So, well, during the day, I know that I didn't want to be too much bonded with my mother because I want to experience with other people, you know, and she has to be, you know, do things for her own. So at the end of the evening, you know, Tony said, you know, we're going to do the firework and everything. She was with another group. Well, I went to the firework and did my thing. And then, you know, the group came to me and they were like, you know who was doing the firework the first? It's your mother. I was like, no, you're kidding. So my mother goes, yes, she was really grateful. I had tears in her eyes and say, you know, it's strange to know at the age of 65 what you could have done in your life if you have more personal development. And she was crying because, you know, she was like, you know, I'm 65 almost, but this experience, no one can take that away from me. So she's still talking about it with her friends and talking about Anthony Robbins and saying, you know, you can break every pattern in your life and every belief which is limiting you.
Wow. And I did the firewalk years ago with a friend who trained with Anthony Robbins. And boy, I did it at night, about 8 o'clock at night. And my adrenaline was pumping so much. It was hard to sleep that night. And other people have heard of the firewalk. How was your experience of walking over, I think it's like 1800 degree Fahrenheit coals?
Yeah. Well, you know, It's with everything in life. If you get instructions and you do what, you know, what you have to do and get, you know, by the book, when they say, you know, you have a recipe for it, just follow up with the recipe. You know, when you bake a cake, you know, you want to have an apple pie. It's like the recipe is for an apple pie. Don't put, you know, your own stuff and everything because you get another pie. So that's also with the firewalk. When you get the instructions, you have to be in one kind of state and everything. Just follow up. And then everything will work out fine. Yes.
Yeah, it's an amazing experience. And even when I went, I was helping a friend lead this course, and it was at a university, and about 90% of the students, when they came in, they said, we're just coming to watch. We're not going to be doing the walking. And by the end of the night, like 95% of people had done the firewalk. And once you do it, oh my goodness, that's an experience you remember, and you can never say, well, I can't do that after that.
No, that's why. Yeah, because when you start already saying that you're not going to do it, that's already a limiting belief.
Exactly. And yet when they see people, other people doing it and people cheering and going crazy, they jump in line and they do it as well. And it's a big experience when you come in saying you're not going to do it. And then you finish it, you're like, whoa, that's amazing.
Yes.
Now, you spoke about a definite purpose. That is the most important principle of Napoleon Hill's, and yet I don't see it emphasized and written about so prominently in any of the other personal development speakers. And it's not even easy to put together, is it? Because I know when I did my certification, I put together a definite purpose, and Judy Williamson looked at it and she said, no, Tom, that's not your definite purpose. You're trying to be somebody else. And so now that I have it down, it's like, wow, yes, I know that this is my purpose. How long did it take you to get to the point where you know this is my purpose for myself, my definite purpose? Because it's not easy to find that, is it?
No, it's not. Just to talk about the other speakers, well, what you hear a lot is about goal setting.
Yes.
Well, and goal setting is not your major purpose. Your major purpose is something else. Goal setting is you reach a goal, but your major purpose, you can, you know, compare it with something like your mission in life. And although we know inside what our mission is, but then still there are something, you know, limiting beliefs, some kind of, you know, adversity, a lot of things which make it not possible to reach your, you know, your major purpose. So what these principles are doing is making you aware and get back to yourself, and like, because you know from the inside what your major purpose is. It's like, you know, because you live it your whole life. So for me, for example, it was really difficult, even though it was just under my nose, you know, like, you know, like I couldn't reach it. So that's why you need the second, you know, principle of Napoleon Hill, which is the mastermind. The mastermind is, you know, a group of people from at least two or more people who help you to get, you know, to get your major purpose. So I used, for instance, in my case, I used my my husband and my youngest daughter from 11 to mastermind with me. Like, you know, it's like I can feel it, I can touch it, but I can say it. So they were asking me questions and questions. And then, you know, in that weekend, it came really out what my major purpose is. And it was really an emotional weekend for me because I was, you know, trying to get it along, but it didn't happen. And I needed it also to finish my course. So I was like, you know, I don't even get my definite purpose, you know, what's happening with me? So with masterminding, with, you know, people you really trust and who know you well, like for me, it's like, you know, and it got out. It's like, you know, I have to inspire and motivate people. And that's, you know, that's what I'm doing all my life since childhood. But, you know, you do other some other things like finances, or, you know, you do vacations, or you know, you get children and everything. And sometimes you get a bit drift apart from your major purpose. But I got my major purpose now.
Wow, yep. And that's two people, because you know as well, Steve Martin in Ireland. He has his 4-year-old and 8-year-old sons in his mastermind group, and then you had your 11-year-old daughter in your mastermind group. But who knows and sees you every day and knows your skills and talents and your purpose more than likely your kids?
Yes, it is. And even, you know what it is when you live your purpose and you are also busy with your kids, you know, growing them up in personal development and give them, you know, that they can develop a high self-esteem in life, which, you know, I wasn't, you know, not really happy to get that in my childhood from my parents. But when I realized, you know, that, you know, everything is going through me, you know, going to my kids, I was like aware of that. And yes, I already, you know, preparing my kids, you know, and teaching them a lot of self-development, even though I'm not their trainer and coach, but in my role as a mom, you can use those skills.
Exactly. And, you know, that's especially a great spot to use those skills.
Yes, that's why. And I even got a letter last year from my eldest daughter. She's 21 now, so she was 20, for Mother's Day. And can I read it for you?
Yes, please.
Okay. It says, I will translate it in English because it's in Dutch. It says, you know, dear mom, here we are, the four of us together, me, you, my brother, and my younger sister. I love you as my mother, and I love you as my guide. You have taught me until the day of today, and you have guided me and supported me. And look where I'm at now. Thanks to you and the tools you were not only learning me, but also giving me, as you did with also with my brother, who just wake up, you know, got a wake-up call in life and that he has to do something with it. You raised from the ashes, you know, like a phoenix from, you know, defeat and adversity in your childhood. But you have been pioneering and, you know, you break some patterns for us so we can get advantage of that. And it's now a big difference because, you know, you make a big difference for us in our life by pioneering. And I'm just the example of you. You know, you sacrifice a lot as no one has could been doing, and you are very strong and very cute, and you know you are a leader. And you proved again and again that, you know, that you can always, you know, can defeat, you know, adversity and defeat in your life. And for you, I wish, because I know, yes, she said, you know, you never have to worry about your future because, you know, infinite intelligence have already sorted out everything for you. So, because, you know, you are guided by infinite intelligence. And as a child of you, I'm proud to be a child of you, and I want to make you proud and also help, you know, breaking patterns in, you know, in what I can do. And then she says, never doubt about yourself and, you know, and be rich and look around you what you already have accomplished. You know, who's still looking that great as you at your age and with three children at your age? And, you know, as to you in life, you have to come, you know, have to go through some barriers still. You have to go because that's your major purpose. But you will conquer and you will, you know, have that victory. And every day again, I couldn't have wished me myself a better mother. Look at you. Look at how we are happy as children. And we are proud to be kids of you, even though you had a poor childhood, but you gave us, you know, the amazing childhood we have now. So it's like, you know, happy Mother's Day. We are grateful
that
you are our mom.
Wow. And she spoke of something so important there. It's kind of like breaking a family pattern or a generational curse.
Yes.
And you had to do that for yourself, but then it's okay. People do things sometimes for themselves, but then you also shared it with your kids and you've changed what your childhood was is not what your children experience. And so not only your children will benefit from that, your grandchildren will benefit from that and their grandchildren. And so it's a tremendous impact by making that one change yourself. This is not how our family is going to be any longer. And then also, I know I heard a story about your 11-year-old daughter and how she used Mastermind, auto-suggestion as well, to pick and tell you about your soulmate, which I believe is now in your life. And she spoke it at a time when he was nowhere in your life. And then you designed the exact characteristics of this person.
Yes.
And so there's a lot of people who are single, either been married and not now, or still single, who are wondering, how do I attract the person in my life that I want for my life as my partner, but also as a mastermind partner? And you and your daughter cooked that up, and it arrived and showed up for you, didn't it?
Yes, it did. It did. And what I want to say to, you know, the single people, it's like, first of all, you know, you have to do a lot of self-reflection. It's like, you know, when you go in relationships, the common thing they have, that is you. So if you stand at the side of the cross, and it's like, you know, if you do that, you also have the power to change things. So what I did is really, you have to be aware, and awareness is always the start point of, you know, changing. You need to be aware of what's going on and what kind of patterns you have, and you or maybe inherited from, you know, your family pattern or something like that. And I started with, you know, I got a coach. My coach was, she was the businesswoman of the year in 2006 from Europe. And
Whoa.
She is a professor. Yes, she's a professor at the Erasmus University here in Holland. And her name is Elisabeth van Gerestein. Well, she came with a book from Laura Schlesinger. Laura Schlesinger, you know, she used to be by Oprah and everything. And she got a book. And the book is, you know, 10 Stupid Things Women Do to Mess Up Their Life. Well, when I read that book, it opened my eye a lot, and it was like, no wonder it never happened to me. So I was like, you know, but then I realized my daughter was 60 then, you know, who wrote the letter. So you know, I went to my daughter and I said, you know, not in those, you know, in the adult language, but it was in a language for her age, like, you know, you better select a good partner.
Yes.
And I said, and you can do it because you are aware, and I can teach you some things because I'm reading about it and I get coached by it. So you always need, you know, someone else to help you out, like, you know, holding that mirror for you, like, this is you and what you are doing. And then you can place your order in a good way.
Yes,
so
and you
I
did.
So I asked for Brad Pitt. I did. I asked for Brad Pitt. But he looks like him.
And he has all the characteristics that you put together,
yes,
and your daughter told you he would show up before he was ever even nearly on the scene.
Yes.
Amazing. So, and so, yes, single people, as you said, a lot of it is you need to work on yourself first, and then when you're the radiant person that you are meant to be and who you're meant to be, then that will shine out and people will find you that need to find you. And so that's an amazing story. And your son, I remember something about your son. He's a pretty hotshot guy too, isn't he? He's using the principles. I think you said, does he not have his own definite purpose? And he's already involved in using these success principles.
Yeah, well, what you get as a parent when you're busy with this, you know, all those kids, you know, are growing up. But, you know, I said to him, you are really the experiment, because when I started with self-development, he was at that age 15 years old. So the youngest one, she already grew up in that, you know, in the new me, let's say it for that.
Mm-hmm.
And he was 15 when when I was busy with my self-development. But what he got now is really learning from, you know, his sisters and from me. And it's like, you know, he had wavered and drifted a lot in his life about, you know, what I'm going to do. But now he finds his purpose and he's studying retail management and he's working, you know, for the cinema. And still he's developing. And, you know, what he really got from it is that when you are with people who have a positive mental attitude, you know, even though you're not educated or something like that, by the positive vibe and having a positive mental attitude, you can also reach a lot in your life.
Exactly, exactly. Now, you had shared with the group in Ireland a bit about your childhood. You didn't have the ideal childhood. Someone like myself who has an amazing mom and dad, you didn't necessarily have that experience. You had a lot of adversity in your childhood. And it's when it's personal and family, it's not always easy to share. Share a little bit about some of the challenges and difficulties that you grew up with, because people will just hear, wow, she's a sharp lady, she's done this and this and this. But I think people can relate as well to stories about adversity and challenges, and you certainly had those, didn't you?
Yes, I had a lot of adversity and challenges, and I think because in every adversity and challenge, you know, there's also a seed where you can benefit from. And I think that at a young age when I had, you know, setbacks, I think I unconsciously already knew that there is a seed inside of that. And that is something you can't explain to people, because that's really a guidance. People call it God. Sometimes people call it Buddha or Allah. We call it infinite intelligence, because I don't have a religion, but I still believe in some kind of God. And you know, when you grow up and you were born, you know, with a poor childhood, you know, getting sick, getting out of the hospital, and people say you're going to die. And then you come to Holland and you have this, you know, the culture of the Dutch people. But still, you know, what always keep me strong was, you know, education. I was good at school. But at home, it was really, you know, not so nice. There was a lot of physical abuse. And even I got physical abuse. But then at the age of 15, I realized, you know, if I stay here in the house, so I took a decision at that moment to live my life on my own. So I'm doing that from until now. And, you know, when you think, you know, okay, I'm going, you know, in the wider world, and you get pregnant on the age of 17. Yes, at that moment, I think my major purpose on that moment was the belief I had when I was 8 years old and saying, you know, when I have children, they will never have that childhood which I had. So at the age of 17, when I was pregnant, it was really like my biggest motivation to get my, you know, this child into a childhood which I always promised him or her to have. So I did. So I went back to school, and, you know, you go to school, you're studying, you're a newlywed mom. And you don't even know how to be a mom at that moment because you don't have examples. So everything what I did was really like, you know, reading about it or something. But it's like something instinctive. It's like, you know what's good for your child. And even though, you know, you get some good advice from people around you, but they don't have the ambition you have, because I really had that major goal, like, you know, I'm going to make it. I'm going to make my career, even though you have children. And so I did. And, you know, even though, you know, at that moment, the relationship with the father was not that good, because I was so busy with myself, finding things out for myself. And that came later on, my self-development. And it's like, you know, okay, I've reached a lot which I wanted to reach. And, yes, it was really a hard time, even though I have sometimes, you know, for one subject for school, just to being, you know, graduated, I have to go to, you know, another city to for that 1 hour, but still I went on because I needed it for my graduation. And it was like you coming home from school, you know, taking care of your kid, and then also, you know, you have to graduate. And also I was working at that time because I needed the money to support my kid and myself. So it was really working, studying, raising my children. And that's why I'm grateful that I grew up in the Netherlands, because, you know, people can complain a lot about the country they live in and everything. But if I was living in Suriname, I don't think I have all those opportunities, because in the Netherlands, you know, you can bring your child to daycare, you can do adult education, all this kind of stuff. So I make use of all of that. And within this time, I always say to people, you know, have any excuse to not be educated. You know, you got the internet, you got Google, you got everything, you know. You don't you don't even have to go to a library or something. You can do online courses, so, which I did also apart from the Napoleon Hill course. So it's like, you know, it's really on you if you want to take, you know, education and self-development, because it's nearly on the street now these days.
Exactly. There's no excuse not for taking it. And even Think and Grow Rich, because it's a public domain book, is available for free in a variety of formats. And so there's no excuse not to read these books and take these courses. And now another thing I found that kind of like my head did a little spin when I found it is that you are, a lot of the work you've done is in finance. And I know I took 3 years of accounting school, I worked in accounting, and then I got into sales, because a lot of times finance people can be boring. They look at numbers all day, and then I see you energetic, enthusiastic, positive, and so I think, boy, this person works in finance. This is too exciting for finance. And so tell me about finance, and that it's not just all numbers. There is a lot that can be done. And I know I worked for a management consultant for 4 years, and I know when you look at operations and processes and numbers, you can pretty well solve any business problem.
Yes, yes. Well, I already got that obsession for numbers since I was, you know, in my childhood, and always counting. So by accident, I just got in the bookkeeping and in the finance, and I really was good at it. So I was like, okay, let's stick to this. But what happened, what you have, you know, like, you know, she's energetic, and that's what everybody got when I get in the company. And it's like, you know, okay, you're not that, you know, normal, ordinary bookkeeping person. You know, it's like you can communicate. You know, you have that so good communication. How come? You know, because we are used to people who doesn't even can communicate well.
And exactly.
Yes, and every time it happened that, you know, I come in for the figures, but then it happens that, you know, I you know, it turns out to be then I'm an HR manager, then I'm a manager business operations. So it happened all the time. So I was looking at myself, you know, what is it, what I'm doing? And, you know, what I find out is like, you know, I like not only figures, I like people. I like people in combination with figures and the other way around. Because when you're doing business, people think that those figures pop up, but they do not pop up. It's like you make those figures by the results you accomplish and by the goals you reach or not. So those figures is just a registration of how you did it. And also what I like about figures is that you can measure everything. When you have a goal, it's very frustrating that you cannot measure where you're coming from and where you're going. So the figures is almost for me a sign, like, you know, how successful you are busy with your things. And then it's like the combination with people. It's like, you know, because I'm also a specialist in neuro-linguistic programming, and that's all about human behavior. So what I do then is like, you know, I'm not talking about the human being as a person, but I'm talking about their behavior. Even when you're raising children, it's like, you know, if you talk to a child and say, you know, you are stupid, or you say, you know, you are doing stupid in place of, you know, you are, and you say you're doing stupid. So it's like, you know, what you have almost in all organizations, that the main cause of everything is the communication problems. And because I have noticed of, you know, also specialists in communication, so I can combine that with figures. And I'm almost always bridging between, you know, the director and the management team and people on the work floor. So I'm stabilizing always, you know, bridging over, you know, what the one is communicating to the other, because there's always problems in between of that. So, yes. Yes, I'm not that normal bookkeeping person. That's true.
Not at all. You bring a unique communication style and a lot of fun. And yet, as you say, finance and numbers are so important. And you learn in management, working for a management consultant, it's not just important for reporting what's already happened, but those numbers can be used to analyze where you want to go and what you need to do to get there. And so they're not just reporting the past. They're numbers, if you know how to use them, can tell you what you need to do to get to the next point in your business. So so important for management to have those proper finance figures to run a business. As you said, it's like reaching for a goal where you have no way of measuring what your goal is. It drives you crazy.
Yes, and it's not only in business. It's also in your private life. For what I see in finance is like you have a table with four legs, you know, and you can't afford it that one of those legs is finance and it's not acting up on, you know. So that's why finance is really important in your life. And I also support women to be good at finance. It's not only like, you know, that you have the man who's doing the bookkeeping and all the things with the numbers. I think as a woman today, you need to know what's going around about your finances.
Exactly. Now, you also mentioned NLP, and I've read about that. I took an introduction course and read a number of books on it. What a tremendous technology that is, and you're a certified NLP. And so explain a little bit about that, because it really does help you work with people and know their behaviors and perhaps insight into why they do certain things, and it gives you the opportunity to change some things within their behavior. And so tell us about that, because the technology is incredible, and you've done a fair bit of it.
Yes. Well, okay, about NLP, it's like, you know, you said, you know, why you are doing things. So the NLP is not about the why question. It's more about the how questions. How does it, you know, what is the cause in you which caused you to behave like this? So it's the how question which is more important in NLP than the why question, because when you ask the why questions, what will happen is that people come with all kind of reasons. But when you ask the how questions, what they have to do is to think about the process. And NLP is more about thinking about the process, which, you know, what is it in you, what's causing your behavior. And this study is based upon investigation about successful people. And success, you know, that's for everyone different. You can be a successful housewife, you can be successful in business. But they studied all those people, and what they did is like, you know, they saw some patterns about the way people are thinking. It's about the way people are behaving and the way people are acting. So I already know that some of those principles are also based on Napoleon Hill's, you know, study. And the guy who really got NLP, you know, white-browed in the world is Anthony Robbins. He is the famous example of someone who's integrated NLP a lot. And therefore, no one heard of NLP because it was... Yes, it was in the States, and by Tony Robbins, you know, he made some, people are familiar now with NLP. NLP is like, you know, the only information we got from people is the outside, and it's their behavior. But they saw that in the behavior of people, there are some patterns. People who are really having a positive mental attitude behave different like people who have a negative mental attitude. And that's all caused by what you got in your brain. We call that some kind of things like filters. And filters are filled, you know, with your experience from your childhood, you know, from school experience, but also some kind of generalizations. It's like, you know, when you open a door and you see another door, you think that you can open the door the same way you open that other door. So those things are in your filters. So you can imagine that, you know, if your filters are a bit screwed up,
yes.
You get some screwed up behavior. So it's like, you know, you have to be aware of what you have in your filters and use that effectively so you can have a behavior which, you know, can make you very successful. So So you can learn all those, you know, because we are saying in NLP that every tool you got inside of yourself, but sometimes it's not well developed. So you can develop that tool and everything, you know, you got in your tool. And then it's also, you know, it's also your natural thing that, you know, that you have to learn that, you know, you got some tools which you already got. You don't have to do a lot of work on that and just focus on the tools, you know, which you have very strongly and you can make you successful. Then, you know, get yourself focused on your weak tools or your weak behavior. So NLP is really also, and the main thing in NLP is also like, you know, you have to model successful people. The quickest way to learn another behavior is to model the people who already have the behavior you want.
Exactly, and that helps so much. And I remember I took a workshop one time, NLP workshop, and it said, okay, one person was a person who was supposed to pretend to watch an extremely fascinating TV show to them. And you were, the other person was to look at the person's face and body. And then after about 5 minutes, you were to report to the class what you thought that person was watching on their TV. And my goodness, like 80 to 90% of the people watching could predict really accurately what people were watching on this fictional TV just from their eyes and their face and their body. And so as you talked about, it's a lot about using your tools that you have, and these tools are a lot of times your face, your facial muscles, your body, how you hold your body, and also, as you talked about, communication, it talks about mirroring and matching, and that sort of mirroring people's physiology and words during a conversation. And when I first learned that, I went on a sales call, and I matched that guy's physiology. I thought he was going to punch me, you know. He would sit back and put his feet, cross his legs. I sit back and cross my legs. He'd lean forward, hand on his desk. I'm doing that, too. I'm thinking, this guy's going to notice. He's going to think I'm a nut and ask me to leave. They don't even notice, and then it helps you get into how they're thinking, because if you sit like someone else is sitting, you feel how they're feeling. If you hold the same face, if you look the same direction. And so tell a little bit about these tools, because by modeling what people do with their body, you can figure out what's going on in their mind and their emotions.
That's true. And what you know, what you are doing then, you are building up rapport. Rapport is that, you know, you get aligned with someone. You know, when you want to communicate with someone, you better, you know, talk in their language if you want to reach them, if that is your goal. And what people don't realize is that, you know, communication is really 7% is only words, and 93% is your, you know, 38% is your tonation, your voice, and the other 55% is your physical behavior. So 93% of the communication is really nonverbal, and it's not the 7% words we produce. So 93% is like, you know, everything you see, and you know, by, you know, fine tuning with someone else, you know, you can get the best communication you have. And this is also, you know, when you have in relationships or business, what people don't get is that, you know, you have a goal. You want to be that someone, you know, get your message. And what people do a lot is like, you know, it's, you know, when they have a message and somebody doesn't understand and don't get it, they say, you don't listen. And it's not like you don't listen, but what is it, what you can do that you can get the other one to understand you? So it's when you, you know, say, you know, I am the person who's causing this, then you also get, you know, the opportunity to reach that person, and to reach that person is to get in their behavior. So if you got a person who's very laid back and you are very, you know, very high energetic and everything, you know, you can, you know, that guy can be, or that person can be afraid of you because they are very laid back. So what you do then, as a very energetic person, you go in their state, being laid back also, talking, you know, very slowly. And you go, and then they open up like, she looks like me.
Yes.
It's like then you can have the conversation. And while you know you have that, you know, that rapport with that person, you can take that person to a higher level. Because when then you raise your voice a bit and being energetic, that person is also following you. That's what you call rapport. So the first thing for communication is to build a rapport, and you can do that by modeling the person.
Exactly, and that is sometimes difficult to do depending on even different cultures that people come from. You know, Toronto here, a big business city, everybody quick, quick, quick. And I know I interviewed Don Green, the CEO of Napoleon Hill Foundation, and he comes from the southern part of the U.S., and they talk much slower, and they use a lot of stories, and they have a nice accent. And so meanwhile, my brain is processing like a million things, and I'm trying to talk fast. And so you have to adapt yourself. As you said, when you adapt your posture, your thinking, your words, even how fast you talk, the tonality, use the same words, it's impossible not to generate rapport with people, because now you're entering in their little world, and they're thinking, wow, yeah, this person talks like me, they look like me, they must really understand me. And it really, really does work, although it takes some practice and focus.
Yes, but that's everything in life. You have to practice. And you could have to imagine when you're managing a team, you got different kind of people. So as a manager, you need to learn, you know, how to communicate well. And also with children, you know, I got 3 children, and they are all different. I have to be a super mom and have very flexible, because my son is very laid back. The other one is like, you know, hyper energetic. So it was like, you know, going from the one to the other. And it's like, you know, so yeah, I have to communicate well.
Yes, and you have to adapt yourself. And even NLP talks about 3 types of people, and everybody's a different combination, but they talk about visual, kinesthetic, and auditory. And so if you're talking to someone who's an auditory person and you keep telling them, oh, can you see this? Can you picture this? Doesn't this look amazing? They're thinking like, this person doesn't understand me at all. But start changing, how does this sound to you? Did you hear what I do? You know, did you hear that? And now they're like, oh, wow, this person really knows my language. And so it's focusing on how does the other person talk? What words do they use? And now I have to adapt my physiology, but also my words to get into this person's head. And so this is, as you know, you have to train like you did, because otherwise you revert back to just thinking like you think everyone should talk like me and everybody should think like me. But once you've trained, you know, okay, let's talk a little bit slower. Let's use these words about emotions or sight or visual or hearing. And so it takes a lot of practice. But tell me, like, some of the things that you've experienced from using that, because it is a powerful technology.
Well, what you get is, you know, the first rule in NLP is really like you have respect for other people, thinking and culture and everything. That's where it starts. What you have with the Napoleon Hill principles, like, you know, the first principle is your definite major purpose. In NLP, it's like you have respect for other people's world model, we call it. So it starts with that. If you don't have that, even though you're saying to a person, yes, I really like you a lot, but you say it in a way like you don't really like them. It's not what you say that's 7%. It's that 93%, you know, your face and your body language is saying, you know, you don't. So it starts with that. And so the first communication starts to have respect. But to have respect, you must have an open mind. To have an open mind, you must have, you know, get rid of your limiting belief about people and your, you know, your judgment and all those kind of things. And if you're going to lead, you know, for example, your business or a team or even at home, when, you know, when the kids growing up and they come in an age when they have their own opinion and everything, it's like, you know, you really have respect for every kind of people. And, so NLP is really, really an amazing method. And I like the combination of, you know, NLP, the Napoleon Hill principles, And I also got some education on breaking family patterns. And I think, you know, the combination of that, and it's only not that because those are methods, because it's my major purpose who use those methods, but it's still me and infinite intelligence, you know, who's speaking. And I can do education what I want, but if I don't know my major purpose and who I am and for what I stand for, it doesn't help a bit.
Exactly, exactly. And without that definite purpose, whatever systems you follow or books you read, it's not going to make the same impact until you know, and you know for sure, this is why I'm here. This is what my purpose is. And so I love that because, yeah, you can't just stick with one author or one expert because you need a combination. And so combining NLP with Napoleon Hill is like a, wow, it's a pretty dynamic combination.
It is.
Fantastic. And so now you have to, not everybody knew, but when you do a Napoleon Hill Leader Certification, you also have to do a service project. And so
yes,
you're pretty close now. You're pretty close to being a certified instructor.
Yes, I am.
And I know when I got my certification, oh, my goodness, I was like pretty excited. And it gives you instant credibility wherever you go. Anywhere I go, if there's a group of people, you ask if anyone knows of Napoleon Hill or Think and Grow Rich, you know you're going to get a positive response. So once you have that and you become a Napoleon Hill certified instructor, boy, wherever you go, people all of a sudden start listening a little bit more to you. They're like, ooh, wow,
yes,
that's impressive.
No, and I'm also someone, you know, I like quality. So it's like, you know, when you can prove that, you know, you got it from the first hand, and it's like, you know, you can serve people with a lot of quality. That's really amazing.
Exactly. And these are time-tested tools. Napoleon Hill success principles are very time-tested. They'll never change. And NLP is a newer science, but how people use their brains and their bodies never going to change either. It's built into us from forever. And so those are two powerful technologies. And as you said, if you're going to go for quality. So you certainly have done that. And boy, you made a tremendous impact on everyone who was in Ireland. And I think that's probably also a testament to your NLP skills, because there's a whole variety of people from a variety of countries, and not everybody can impact everyone in a big group. But you were able to do that because you have different communication skills maybe than other people who aren't experienced with NLP.
Thank you. Yes, I'm grateful
Thank
for
you
your
so
work.
Much. Thank you so much, Ruth. It was a lot of fun to speak with you, and people who are on the trip will be excited to hear this interview. You are certainly one that stood out, you and your friend, Anna Maria.
Yes, Anna Maria.
And I interviewed our other friend. Yeah. I interviewed our other amazing friend, Francisco, earlier this week. And so we had an amazing group of people, some really interesting people with different skills and talents. And certainly you're in there. And to hear what you're doing with your kids is probably as exciting to me as anything you'll ever do in business, because your kids are now going to go out and change their lives, their kids' lives, their grandchildren's lives. And it's going to be all because of the work that you did with them.
Thank you for your nice words. Feeling very humble at this moment. I'm very grateful that you give me the opportunity to share this with the people. And yes, it was great also meeting you. At, you know, we shared a lot at the Ireland certification.
Yeah.
And yes, and I saw your website and everything, and I was like, you know, this guy is doing an amazing job, and, you know, I like your major purpose. And I think I'm glad that Judy found out what your major purpose was.
Yes, yes. It's not easy,
you out.
Is it?
Yes, and I'm very grateful with the organization and everything to give us the opportunity, you know, to have this contact and to, you know, spread the word. And that's what we are supposed to do here with the guidance of infinite
exactly.
Energy. Thank you.
And I know this will be just the start, that we'll be hearing more and
it
more
is.
Things. I know you're working
it
on
is.
A few already, and so even
yes.
I'm anxious to find out what they are, because I know they're going to make a tremendous impact on the world.
Thank you.
Have an amazing day.
Thank you.